there's a question here. So somebody's asking that when you do the absorption of the Buddha into you, to do this, it seems like you already have to have the mind of a Buddha to be able to do the meditation correctly. Okay? So this is where our perfectionist mind gets us tangled up, you know? And we forget the word practice. Yeah? And we forget that we do these visualizations not because we already are those things, but because we're trying to become them. In the same way, when we're little kids, we dress up, you know, and we imagine doing all these adult jobs. And by having that imagination, then when we grow up, we'll be able to do it. So similarly here too, when the Buddha absorbs into us, we shouldn't think, oh, my meditation's a failure because I'm not a Buddha after the Buddha absorbed into me. You know? I mean, if we were already a Buddha, we wouldn't need to do this meditation. Okay? Yeah? So, you know, please remember when you're doing things on the level of imagination, you're not doing them wrong if, you know, you don't end up with the final result. Okay? When you visualize yourself as the deity, you know, you're meditating on emptiness, you arrive as the deity, and then in the middle of it, you think, oh, my big toe hurts. Oh, my whole meditation is a failure. I haven't meditated on emptiness. I haven't done the self-generation correctly. This technique doesn't work for me. You know. Come on. Okay? So, don't have those kind of expectations. You know, these are always for us to practice, to try these things, to slowly gain the understandings. Okay? This whole judgmental, critical mind is a very big problem, you know, for us. And this whole mind that sees one little instruction and then if we don't get the result we think we should get, one of two things. Either we say, I'm a failure, or second thing is we say, the Dharma doesn't work. Okay, now where does that leave us if we do either one of those things? Can we afford, in our suffering state of samsara, going round and around in rebirth, to get stuck in either of those ideas when we need the Dharma so desperately to cut the root of our samsara? You know? So that mind that goes to either of those things is just completely, you know, that is the ignorant mind, self-centered mind, sabotaging us, you know. And we can't afford to follow that mind because it will lead us in the wrong direction. It takes time for us to gain some conviction in the Dharma. When we're new, you know, we hear the teachings. Sometimes we get a flurry of excitement at the beginning because a lot of things click for us. And then think time goes on and, well, I'm just still the same old person. You know? And then we start doing some practices with all these expectations, like, you know, this kind of question indicates. But we need to give ourselves time to develop conviction in the Dharma. And we do that by studying and thinking about it and asking questions and trying it on. And over a period of time, when you start to realize that what the Buddha said applies to your own situation and that it actually makes sense, then you get some conviction in it, okay? And then, based on that conviction, you know, you keep practicing and you don't have the expectation that you're already supposed to be a Buddha. Okay? Because your conviction becomes in the Buddha's description of the basis, what is right now, in his description of how, of the path, of how you transform that, how you practice it, and his description of the result, where we're going to. So we have confidence in all three of those, and we begin practicing the path in order to get to the result. But we have to do that through understanding the basis where we're at right now. Yeah. We don't get to the end by expecting ourselves to be at the end. Okay? And so, you know, to practice, we need this kind of confidence in the teachings. And I know for me, at the beginning, the way the confidence came to me was, you know, the Buddha talked about how attachment is a source of suffering. Well, I thought attachment was a source of happiness. And when I began to look at my life, I realized, wow, the Buddha's right. Now, I began to see how much amazing amount of attachment I had. Okay. Now, at that point, I could have said, oh, I have so much attachment, I'm doing it all wrong. You know, I'm not supposed to have any attachment. This attachment's bad, yet my mind's plagued by it. I can't practice the path. It's all wrong. You know, I'm wrong. The path is wrong. It doesn't work. I'm going to go out and have some pleasure instead. You know, go back to my attachment. Okay, I could have done that. But my mind didn't work that way because I knew if I went back to the attachments, I'd be in the same hole I was in before. The way my mind went was, oh my goodness, I'm seeing so much attachment in my mind. But this is exactly what the Buddha said was the cause of suffering. And he's right, you know. It's like, when I look at my life, this attachment was driving me nuts. Yeah, and I thought it was happiness the whole time. So even though I still have all the attachment, now at least I see that it's something that doesn't serve me. Okay? Where did I get that understanding? It was from the Buddha's teaching. From that basis, then I felt, wow, the Buddha's a good guide. And I thought, wow, the path is working. It's working in that it just made me be able to identify this thing that was causing me so much misery that I thought was the cause of my pleasure. You know? So even though I still had it, there was progress on the path from being able to identify it. Okay? So instead of, you know, hammer ourselves on the head because we still have attachment and we aren't Buddhas yet, you know, when the Buddha absorbs in us, you know, to say, oh, I recognize now more what's keeping me from doing that, what the source of my suffering is. And that, being able to recognize that, that is progress. And that gives us really deep conviction in the Buddha Dharma, okay? And that deep conviction is what's going to sustain us over the long term. Whereas if we go into the Dharma with the same mind that we go into when we're studying in a secular field, you know, like, well, I study it and then I've got to know it and tell the teacher what they already know, then that's not the right way to approach the Dharma. Or if we go into it expecting ourselves to be like the NBA, you know, it's like, you know, I've got to be the best basketball NBA player right away, you know, or else the coach is going to yell at me. And meanwhile, you know, you're in fifth grade basketball and you're 3 feet tall. You know. Okay? So none of that makes any sense, does it? Yeah. It's like, don't expect yourself to be an NBA champion. Yeah? kind of just having an interest in playing basketball, even living at this gig, you know, that's good. You're going to get there, you know. Because, you know, Michael Jordan, he was a basketball player, right? Okay, I get him all confused. So he was once 3 feet tall, too, wasn't he? He didn't come out of his mother's womb being like that. Oh, my goodness, what his mother would have gone through, you know. So it's the same way when we're practicing the path. Okay? Please remember this. It will save you a lot of misery.